Football.
And now, from a cigar shop that used to be a multilingual surgery center and is permanently our temporary recording studio, comes the all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit.
The All Out Assault on Stupidity and Bullshit, Empty Minds Radio, episode 392. I am Tom.
And I'm Bud Dickman, here to say hello.
Oh, hey, Bud. How you doing tonight? It's been a while, man. How are you?
Pretty good over there, Tom. It's fun to try out new stuff, and here I am trying out some new stuff.
Yeah, that's right, Bud. Normally, you don't you hang out on another radio show? Aren't you a regular... maybe even like a studio hand.
I have been known to assist on another show, and I just decided to take a break and try out something new tonight, and so I'm here.
Well, fair enough, bud. Nice to have you on board. Be kind of lonely sitting here by myself. I was kind of though planning on doing this show by myself. So if you don't mind, you can chime in every once in a while. But maybe if you want to just hang to the shadows, I mean, no offense. I just
no offense taken. I can hang back and just enjoy the show.
Fair enough, bud. You know, once you could chime in once in a while, but keep her on the lowdown.
A-okay, Captain.
Thanks, bud. This is Empty Minds Radio 392. You're all at assault on stupidity and bullshit. As I said, I am Tom, and if you're brand new to this show, you have no clue what's going on. This is normally not a one-man show. In fact, the only... sorry, bud. No offense.
None taken.
The only other time that I have been in the studio alone is episode number 67. Now, we're on episode 392, so I did this... solo episode number 67 on April 6th, 2012. So over 6 years ago was the last time this show had only one host, and that host was me that day. And it was a wacky Easter special. I think it was only about an hour long. But this week, well, I'll get to it in a little bit. I'll get to why I decided to do a solo show tonight. It wasn't that I couldn't get people. There was a reason for it. So anyway, be sure to check us out on EmptyMindsRadio.com, the great internet archive. Wait a minute. I wasn't planning on having anyone here, and I certainly did not contact you, bud, and you don't have a key to the place. How did you get in here?
I used to be the night janitor here, and...
You were the night janitor in this building, aren't you? Don't you live in a different state?
I lived here for a short while. I was a night janitor, and I got my secrets.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, make sure you lock up when you leave, then.
I will do. A-okay, Captain.
You got to stop saying that. Anyway, we are on EmptyMindsRadio.com, the great internet archive. That's over at archive.org. If you've never been there, the Internet Archive is fantastic. They have the Wayback Machine, which is a repository of websites that are no longer around. So you get some favorite website that's dead. There's a good chance that the Internet Archive has picked it up and has it at least logged as something that once existed. And their whole goal is to back up the wealth of the world's knowledge. It doesn't seem like there's much of it these days, but there is over at the archive. So they are backing up the world and giving it back to everyone for free. You can catch great shows like this one, tons and tons of podcasts, TV shows, all kinds of stuff over there. And none of it's the stuff you would expect. None of it's real. It's not super commercialized TV. It's all stuff that they could get for free, and all stuff that, you know, maybe it isn't licensed anymore, or its copyright ran out or whatever, and they're backing it all up. And it's a great service, and it's free. The Internet Archive, archive.org. We're on Twitter and Facebook, too. Two Facebook pages, The EMR Assault and Empty Minds Radio. And please, go over there and hit like to the page. Go over there and hit like to the stuff. We know you're out there listening. Go on Facebook and hit like to our shit. The importance of the Facebook page, beyond just kind of letting us know that you're out there, is that we do reference pictures on the show. Sometimes we'll have a whole segment where it's all about pictures. Well, this is an audio podcast, so goddamn it, Tom, what the hell good are pictures?
I was kind of wondering the same thing myself. The pictures, what are they all about?
But the Facebook pages are how we justify having pictures on an audio podcast. You can go to our Facebook page. Presumably, you're listening to this show. You could be listening to it in your car. If you're listening to this show in your car, please do not pull out your computer or your phone and go to Facebook and look at shit. But chances are you're sitting somewhere listening to this show. You got your phone, you got your laptop, or you got whatever it is, your tablet. go to our Facebook page. You can look at the pictures. They're easy to find. They're all in an album in the photos area with the name and the number of the episode. So tonight's, if you're looking for pictures for tonight's show, there aren't going to be many of them tonight. But if you are looking for those, episode number 392 is the name of the photo album. And all the photos referenced or regarding tonight's show will be in that folder in the order they were shown. So or talked about. So not hard to find. Go to our Facebook page. If we do any videos or if we link, talk about anything that we link to, all that's on the Facebook page. And that's how we justify it. Catch us through the RSS feed via your favorite podcatcher. Links to all three of those things, Twitter, Facebook, and the RSS feed, are on every single page of our website. We're on RenegadeRadio.com. Renegade has two A's. Renegade is a West Coast outfit that runs a lot of great podcasts. We are played twice a week on Renegade Radio. I don't have those exact times in front of me, but Thursday drive time and something, something, something. So you can listen to our stream over there as well. Contact us via the contact form. Donations are happily accepted on our donate page. You need PayPal to do so. Tonight's not too hard to figure out. Gary's out. I have the EM news. Jerry is out this week doing who knows what. I just learned what he is. He's going and smoking cigars with Gary, which they frequently do. Pauly is out because not only is an odd assortment of characters in here tonight. Again, no offense, but
none taken, Captain.
I'm not your captain.
It remains to be seen.
All right, bud. Pauly would be out anyway because not only is it an odd cast of characters tonight, I am going out of town tomorrow, Friday. I'm leaving town for the weekend. Therefore, we had to bump the show back to a Thursday, and Pauly can never do Thursdays. Pauly has a secondary job selling cigars on Thursday nights. So Pauly's selling cigars. Jerry and Gary are smoking them, but not at the place Pauly's at. Isn't that interesting? So Pauly is out. There will be no Cinema Pauly Deeso this week, but Cinema Pauly Deeso will be back next week. And we got your favorite Facebook posts of the week tonight. We also got a couple of fuck off rants. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know what these are. And of course, I'll be doing those too. You got anything you want to add to the show?
I got no special segments. I came in here with no plan at all.
Sounds good. This week has been an interesting week. It's been super hot here in EMR land. Just ridiculously hot. Drizzling hot. Today, I think it was in the mid-90s with like a 90% humidity. And if you're not familiar with that feeling, well, you've never visited Florida. But anyway, we're not in Florida. We're in Minnesota. And we do occasionally get a handful of days like this in the summer. But I'm pretty sure we've had more than our share of these already. And just now, just as I was about, just about an hour actually before I sat down to record here tonight, massive rain, torrential rain, downpour and wind, and it's still raining a little bit out there. And slowed down just enough for me to walk down to the coffee shop and get myself a coffee. So that's what I did. It stopped raining just enough for that, but I could see more rain tonight. I'd like to see more rain tonight. It's got to cool it off around here in EMR land. It's hot as fuck. And I'm not a big fan of AC. I'm not a big fan of the air conditioning. I prefer to have the doors and the windows open and getting fresh air. But on days like this, even I relent. When it's this hot, it's got to be the AC. I don't want to sweat from thinking. Thinking and sweating, not cool. So that's the week here. It's been really hot, but am going out of town tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be much cooler where I'm going, but I'm going over to Milwaukee, which was just deemed the Midwest's coolest city. I don't know if that means, I don't think it means temperature, but I think it's supposed to be really cool over there. And they've got a lot of growth going on, really cool stuff down on the lake shore and this and that and the other things. So, and it is on, you know, a great lake. So it actually might be cooler there. Who the hell knows? But I'm excited to get out of town for the weekend and go enjoy that. And that's why we've bumped the show back to tonight. And why is everybody out? So normally, you know, we've done once a year or so, the show gets bumped to a Thursday because there's a holiday or it's somebody's birthday or it's something on a Friday. And so we move it to a Thursday typically. Even then, we still have, you know, two, three, four people on the show usually. So why tonight is it different? Well, like I said, I haven't done a solo show in over 6 years. And when we bumped it to tonight, I knew Pauly couldn't make it. Gary and Jerry probably would be in. They usually don't have a problem with it. And I just decided, I was talking to Jerry in the car. We went out for drinks last Saturday. And I was talking to him, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to do a solo show. It's been a while. And he said, go ahead. So here I am doing a solo show.
Hey, Hey, what about me? Hey, don't forget about me.
But it, for all intents and purposes, it was written and it's being produced as a solo show. You climbed in a window or through an air vent or slid down a chimney or something to get in here because you were the night janitor here years ago. And I didn't expect you. I'm happy to see you. It's been a long time, man, but I got to call this a solo show. I got to call it that for me.
All right, I understand. I'll sit over here and I'll shut the fuck up.
That sounds good, bud. Just sit over there and shut the fuck up. So that's why everybody's out tonight. It's not that they wouldn't do the show. It's not that they couldn't do the show. It's just that I never even called them. But they know I'm doing the show. And that's how that works. So anyway, we have a theme. Every month of this show, there is a theme. A new theme for each of the 12 months in the year. And every week of said month, there is a picture and a set of words that go along with that theme. This month, this week, no different. If Jerry was here, Jerry would go into all kinds of, ideas of what he thinks the theme is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jerry's not here tonight, so we're just going to go right into the theme. The July theme is, for the whole month of July, is old arcade signage or storefronts. These are pictures of just the signs, or in most cases, I think, actually the whole storefront of an old video game arcade, typically circa late 70s, early 80s, something like that. I believe the one we had last week even dipped into the late 60s, which means, you know, it was a foosball pinball arcade way before video games were around, at least a solid decade, a little more than a decade before video games were around. It was pinball and stuff. So that was last week's. This week, the picture for the theme is of the Sassany Arcade. This was a downtown Los Angeles staple for many, many, many years. It was located on Broadway in sort of a seedy, sketchy, shitty area of downtown Los Angeles. The Sassany opened in the early 80s. I couldn't find an exact date for it, but early 80s, of course. And the iconic arcade of downtown ate its last quarter in October of 2014 as the entire building was sold. So arcade machines and pool tables were sold off on Craigslist. From all accounts, everything I read, everything I found about this place, including Yelp reviews and other reviews and classic, you know, vintage arcade groups and stuff that have reported online, these machines were mishmash. I mean, some of the American, you know, they're typically American video games, but there's different hardware that can go into them, like a Japanese, you know, this and that. There were Japanese versions of all the famous games and, you know, well, worldwide versions for that matter. And so some of these were Frankenstein together machines where it was like, the language was foreign, but the game was regular and the thing was this, but it was in a different cabinet and the joystick didn't work, but it was like some other thing was wired up. From all accounts, this whole place was Frankenstein together and being held together by glue and duct tape. So I guess it was pretty rough in its final days, but even so, it's really sad to see a place like this go. I hope sometime in my life, I see places like this come back because they aren't being replaced. Signage doesn't look this good and this bold and this exciting and this fun anymore. These places, just from the outside, if you never saw what was inside, you'd be like, God, I want to go in there. I want to go in there and see what's inside there because this sign looks fucking amazing. And that is no different. Check out the picture. By the way, regarding this picture of the Sassany Arcade, I talked just a little while ago about how all the pictures we reference on the show are on our Facebook page. That is true with one exception, the theme picture. These theme pictures and words are only, they only appear with the episode of the show on the EmptyMindsRadio.com website. So you go to EmptyMindsRadio.com, you click on episodes. The episodes are in ascending order, so the newest episode is at the top of the page going down, and then they're on the right side, by the way, you'll also find an archive. And it goes back, I don't think it goes back to episode one. There's a few episodes I have to upload yet, but I think it goes back to episode six or something of this show. So if you find yourself a fan, there is plenty of old listening to. And I'll give you a warning. Going back later than, say, 4 years ago, the sound gets a little sketchy. The sound wasn't as good. It's still a fun show. The show has only grown and gotten better, but the sound, well, that has improved greatly over time. So anyway. So the theme, yes, is old arcade signage and the Sassany Arcade from downtown L.A. And the words to this week's theme are from the 2016 eighth album by Lemon Demon. The album's called Spirit Phone. The track is titled Cabinet Man, and that is as in video game cabinet. This would be the kind of cabinet an old video game had found. And I found these lyrics, and they are perfect. Very interesting. It's almost like a, it's about a, sort of like a arcade cabinet that has human feelings, but is it knows its wires. And read it and take it for what you will, but that can be found on our website, Sassany Arcade and Cabinet Man. There you go. And with that, folks, I think we have reached our first commercial break, so we are going to take that break. We will see you in just a minute.
Hi, this is Jerry with a public service announcement to all of our EMR listeners. Are you having trouble sleeping at night? Are you losing your hair? Do you suffer from bad breath? Can't get it up anymore? Still pee in the bed? Well, we know what the fix is. It's the T-Squared Custom T-Shirt. Yes, a T-Shirt will fix those problems and so much more. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jerry, a T-Shirt won't cure all of those issues, but it will. I shit you not. I'm living proof. I haven't peed the bed, and my bad breath's all but gone since I got a custom T-Shirt from T-Squared. Give them a call for all your screen printing and custom apparel needs, from 1 to 1,000 T-Shirts or any other custom apparel. They've been around since 2002, and they believe big ideas can start small. You know what else they believe in? They believe in giving back to their community by contributing 1% of their profits to local charities. They're conveniently located in Minneapolis at 2520 Larpenteur Avenue West. T-Squared's open from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Give them a call at 651-645-7916. You can also do yourself and your friends a favor by checking them out at tsquared.net. That's TeeSquared.net. And tell them Jerry at Empty Minds Radio sent you.
There's a rage in the cage.
Hey, Bud, do you mind? We're coming back.
I love that song. That Jane Giles Band and that Rage in the Cage. That is good stuff.
All right, thanks, Bud. We are back. Empty Minds Radio, episode 392. That's right, we've done 391 of these episodes already, and we're working on finish our 392nd episode. That's some solid shit there, folks. And it's your all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit with no further ado. This is the EM News. Empty Minds News. Here it is, folks. Number one comes to us from good old, jolly old London, England. You ever been to England, bud?
Yeah, I've been there once or twice. I stowed away.
All right, enough. All right. This one is from London, England. It's called Baby Trump Flying High. Baby Trump Flying High. Thanks, Polly. No problem. A giant Trump baby balloon is set to be flown close to the UK Parliament during U.S. President Donald Trump's visit to London, which starts tomorrow after the mayor of London gave the go-ahead. It was announced on Thursday. This is fucking awesome. This is it's a giant Trump, like, with, it looks like, who is that? Not Baby Huey, but like, I think in Tim Burton's Batman, there was like a baby with like a old-fashioned bomb in its mouth. It kind of looks like that style, with the suck in its thumb, and it's got a diaper on and a bonnet, and it's clearly Trump. The mayor of London gave this a go-ahead. This is fucking fantastic. Protests are expected across London when Trump arrives on his 3-day visit to the UK, with the 19-foot high orange balloon poised to take center stage. Over 10,000 people have signed a petition in support of the balloon. I believe that number has probably increased greatly, as I read just about an hour ago that 50,000 people or more are expected to be protesting wherever Trump is at in London. Good. Send him packing. Although we don't want him back, so, I don't know. Keep him there? Who cares? Do something with him. He's a worthless piece of shit. Anyway, the request for the balloon to fly was approved by Mayor Sadiq Khan after over 10,000 people, way over, I would imagine, signed a petition, and 1,000 people contributed over $21,000, which I believe is a higher number now, to a crowdfunding campaign. The balloon will fly for 2 hours on the morning of Friday, July 13th, at the same time as the Stop Trump march in central London. A spokesperson for the mayor said the mayor supports the right to peaceful protest and understands that this can take many different forms. His city operations teams have met with the organizers and have given them permission to use Parliament Square Garden as a grounding point for the blimp or the balloon. So what do you think of the Trump balloon?
Ah, I haven't seen pictures of it, but I've been known to like balloons in the past. I once saw a balloon.
All right, bud. We're good. That's cool. How about after the show?
Okay. After the show sounds good to me.
All right. That sounds great to me, too. Sadiq's main priority is the safety of all Londoners and visitors to the city. And as always, we are working in very close coordination with the Metropolitan Police and other key agencies to ensure all protests are carried out safely and securely. Sorry, I can't talk tonight, folks. I just am stumbling and spitting. Normally, I have a long pause between the work day and the show, but tonight I kind of, other than grabbing coffee from a hot coffee girl, I kind of just jumped right into the show. Anyway, let me start that sentence over again. Sadiq's main priority is the safety of all Londoners and visitors to our city, and as always, we are working in very close coordination with the Metropolitan Police and other key agencies to ensure all protests are carried out safely and securely, the spokesperson said. Organizers are still awaiting final approval from the Metropolitan Police and National Air Traffic Service. The giant balloon will be tethered to the ground in Parliament Square Gardens and won't be able to float higher than 98 feet. The presence of the balloon may exacerbate tensions between Khan and Trump, who have been embroiled in several Twitter spats. That's our fucking world now, is world leaders spatting, quote, spatting on Twitter. That's ridiculous. What a fucking world. Twitter's fine. Twitter's fine for things like this show. Twitter's fine for, you know, celebrities and figures, musicians who want to, you know, bullshit with their fans or fight among each other. But world leaders, I'm sorry. I don't want to see world leaders fighting. I think they should be above that. Even if they're not really above that, they should certainly portray themselves as above that. And I think Twitter spats between world leaders is horseshit. Anyway. Khan has been outspoken in his opposition to Trump's visit. He criticized the U.S. president over his tweets following the terror attacks in London last year. Yeah, so I believe those were the ones that took place in the tube or the underground. Good. Fly balloons all over the place. Make sure Trump sees them. Glue his eyeballs to them if you have to. He's an asshole. And shit on him all you can. That's what I say.
I got no comment on that.
Well, thanks for chiming in, bud. Should I turn off your microphone? Is it too hard for you to remain silent?
I'll be good. I'm fine.
All right, bud. Fair enough. Number two, our second story comes to us from Shawano or Shawano. Never heard of it. Wisconsin. It's right next door. We're in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota here. And this is right next door in Wisconsin. But yeah, there's a bunch of cities in this state that I've never heard of either. So the fact that I haven't heard of Shawano or Shawano, Wisconsin is not surprising to me. This story is called Storage Pussy. Storage Pussy. Thanks again, Polly. You got it. A Wisconsin woman is facing felony drug charges after police said they found about 82 grams of drugs in her vagina. Right up in the coochie. Desiree Webster, 20 years old, was... Jesus, 20 years old, was arrested June 25th in Shawano. I'm going to go with Shawano from here on out. If I have to say it again, it's going to be Shawano. That's all there is to it. Desiree Webster, 20, was arrested June 25th in Shawano after police pulled over the 1997 Monte Carlo she was driving. Her companion, 39-year-old Jeral McCollum, a convicted drug dealer, was also in the car. Officers pulled over the car after getting a tip that McCollum might be selling heroin, cocaine, marijuana, meth, and other drugs. He's kind of a one-stop shop. You ever partake in the drugs there, bud?
I've been known to do a little bit of this and that. Yeah, popping some pills and random other stuff. Say, have you ever?
No, I never have.
Never. What about?
Hey, stop. All right. We'll let that rest. I'm sorry I asked. This guy was selling everything. Anyway, is the point. Police said McCollum's MO, modus operandi, was to travel with a woman who would slip drugs into her vagina if police stopped them. What if the cops pulled you over and he's like, "Hey, yo, baby, slip these in your coochie." And she's like trying, but her zipper's stuck, and she's got this bag, and the zipper just won't come down, and the button won't come unbutton, and then she can't get her panties aside fast enough, and then the bag falls on the ground, and then, like, you know, all this is happening, and the cops, oh, man, I just got a great visual. That's got to be in a movie. It's got to be in a movie, and please, don't steal it. Let me have it. Let me have that one. It was my visual, after all. Anyway, her job, the woman, whoever the woman is that this McCollum guy travels with, it is her job to stuff drugs in her pussy if police stop them. A police dog showed particular interest in the driver's seat where Webster had been sitting at the time of the stop. No way. After a corrections officer performed a strip search on Webster, she suggested there was something hidden in her vagina. She told him, yeah, I got a bunch of drugs in my crotch. A CT scan of Webster's pelvic area taken at a hospital showed something that looked like a plastic bag that was about the size of a human fist. A human fist worth of drugs. Officers said they found nearly 82 grams of drugs inside Webster. Here's the breakdown. 36.67, I'm gonna round these, 37 grams of cocaine, 15 grams of crystal meth, 28 grams of synthetic weed, 6 MDMA ecstasy pills, and 1.3 grams of marijuana, the Mary Jane. Murphy said if the bag had ruptured while inside of Webster, she would more than likely have died, of course, because all those drugs would instantly enter your bloodstream and you would face cardiac arrest. Webster was charged with 6 felony drug counts, and she was also charged with 8 counts of felony bail jumping stemming from an earlier felony case that remains pending. McCollum was charged with 4 felony counts. So, yeah, no matter what, he wins, right? He tells the woman, stuff this shit in your pussy. She gets busted with it actually on her, and she got double the amount of counts, not including what she was, you know, convicted of for prior shit. She got nailed more than him because she actually had it on him. He's smart, if not completely and totally a fucking asshole. And we will have more Empty Minds news in a little bit, but now we must move on to some other things. We got some other business to take care of here. You ready for it, bud?
I'm ready for just about anything over here. I'm having a good old time. I got some popcorn, and I got some of that cheesy. You ever had that cheesy? You shake it on the pop.
Okay, yep, bud. Enjoy your popcorn, bud. Please just enjoy your popcorn, and let me move on. You know, I am beginning to regret ever asking for your input. I don't know why that is. Anyway, but I still appreciate you being here. I don't know why. That's really strange. Anyway, folks, we've got some shit. Paul, who's not here tonight, but just because he's not here doesn't mean he doesn't deserve a plug. The regular listener, even the semi-regular listener, knows about this project because we've talked about it every week for like the past year and a half. The new listener, the old listener, like, listen up here. Pauly has a great project. Pauly is a filmmaker. Specifically, he's a very good documentarian. He likes to cover the past. He has an award-winning documentary out there that him and another man did called Iwo Jima, and that is fantastic. This is not his first rodeo. He actually is a filmmaker for a living, and he's very good at it, and he's very particular, and he wouldn't put it out if it wasn't good. So his project is called A Last Hurrah, and it is a documentary movie. It's slated to be about an hour long. The final result, hopefully, is PBS, public television, but there will definitely be some screenings elsewhere. And The Last Hurrah is the story of socioeconomic change that occurred in Southern California in the mid-50s and into the 60s in a very, very, very short amount of time, like under a decade. The landscape out there really, really changed, and it was because of the promise of work, aerospace industry and the military industry. They, you know, they build weapons, they build all kinds of shit for those industries out there. So a lot of people moved there for that. It was the promise of the sort of the Beverly Hillbillies, swimming pools, movie stars, beautiful weather, perfect beaches. Come to LA, you know, your life will be great. So there was this whole propaganda thing going on top of it. And that's exactly what people did. I mean, they moved there in droves in the 1950s. And we joke week after week about a guy called the Orange Grove Killer who killed some 350,000 people in the orange groves of California. Well, that joke, actually, it's a joke, but it sprouted from the Orange Grove Killer, which was change, which was progress. Progress killed the orange groves in Southern California. There used to be orange groves all around LA as far as the eye can see, miles and miles and miles of orange groves. It's, you know, the citrus thing, the oranges, that was what they were all about out there. And when all these people moved there, you know, the first thing to go to make room for new housing and tract housing and all these, you know, places for people to live were the orange groves. They got bulldozed and there is nothing left. I mean, there are some orange groves, but certainly not what they were. And so they were killed. And so all this change and stuff in this movie that takes place in this movie all centers around this 1956 high school football game that was played in the L.A. Coliseum to the tune of 60,000 fans. Imagine 60,000 people showing up for a football game. Yeah, in a modern-day stadium, on a good day, a professional team can get 60 grand or more. But 60,000 people to a high school game, and we're talking 60-some years ago? Come on, 1956, 60,000 people at the L.A. Coliseum for this high school football game between Anaheim and Downey High School. That's kind of the focal point, because there was never a game like that afterward. That was the only game that before or after that ever got attendance anywhere near there. I think the next closest was something like 30,000. Anyway, this is a really cool film project, and you should check it out. ALastHurrahMovie.com. That's A Last Hurrah, H-U-R-R-A-H, movie.com. There are video interviews and segments of the finished product, which is still well underway. There are interviews, there are flip books, there is data, and everything you need to know so you can decide whether or not this is something you want to be a part of. And then there are three ways in which you can donate. One of those is a tax-deductible donation if you require tax deductions in your life. So three ways to donate, lots of information about the project. He'd love, if you got questions, feel free to contact him by the contact form on that site. But help him out, ALastHurrahMovie.com. He, I think, so far has raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000 in donations. He needs like another 50 to complete this thing. He's finished almost all the interviews now. He just got back from LA a couple weeks ago. He filmed more interviews. I think he has one or two little pickup interviews he wants to do. And then it's post-production. It's editing. It's acquiring the rights to certain songs that he needs. That's not cheap. It's acquiring archive photos legally. That's not cheap, like from the Getty and from other stock photo sources. There's all kinds of things, and it all adds up. And so he still could use your help very much so. So if you're hearing this, check that project out. It's really cool. And ALastHurrahMovie.com, help Paulie. We get Pussy of the Week. We're not going to do Pussy of the Week. We have yet to hear from anyone regarding Pussy of the Week, and I find it very hard to believe that somebody out there doesn't have a Pussy of the Week they would like to nominate. What this is it's a segment on the show. We reference it every week. I'm not really doing anything with it until I hear from one of you. You get somebody in your life. It's a boss. It's a family member. It's a friend. I don't care who they are. And they made a real pussy move. Maybe it was directed at you. Maybe you just witnessed it and it really didn't involve you, but you saw it happen. We'd like to hear about it. And keep in mind, this is not the bitch of the week or the asshole of the week. This is a pussy move. Somebody who did an underhanded, slimy thing to get off the hook or to blame something else for something that they should have taken blame for or been responsible for, and they didn't because they were too much of a pussy to do so. That's what this is. You contact us via the contact form or message us on either of our Facebook pages and tell us the first name of the person, their gender, and their age. And from there, Paulie, our own Paulie, will produce a 4-panel comic strip regarding how he thinks, and we want to hear what the incident was, of course, their gender, their age, their first name, and what the incident was. And Paulie will produce a comic strip on what he thinks that looked like and what he thinks they look like. And it's going to be cool. And that'll be on our Facebook page. You'll have a piece of EMR history that you can say, hey, I made that cartoon happen, and you will be delighted with it. So please, please, listener, come on, get the fuck off your ass. Check out our Facebook page, hit like to some stuff, and if you got a pussy of the week, send it to us. For God's sakes, we want to hear it. And now I'm going to do the first of two fuck off rants of the night. Fuck off. I should preface this by saying if there were other people in the room besides you, bud, I'm turning your mic off for this segment, but there you go. What a fuck off rant is the person who has the rant, in this case, me, gets the mic and everybody else gets turned off and they get to rant. They get to rant about one thing. And then at the end, the mics go back up, and if anybody has anything to say, they can add to it. Well, it's just me in the studio tonight, so the mics will go up, and maybe Bud will open his mouth, but maybe not. anyway, everywhere I go, I'm serious, everywhere I go, people are driving 5 to 10 miles under the posted fucking speed limit. 5 to 10 miles under the posted limit everywhere. I just get away from one person, I turn a corner or something, and I'm right back behind the next person who's going 20 or 25 in a 30 zone, 30 to 35 in a 40 zone, you know, whatever it is, they're 5 to 10 miles under the limit, all the fucking time drive the goddamn speed limit. They're under the posted limit. What in the hell is wrong with you assholes? When I'm on the road, and I think I'm speaking for everybody here, I usually like to go a tad over the posted limit because I'm not in my car in the middle of the city on a hot fucking day to leisurely count the amount of fire hydrants between my office and the community center ice cream social. I'm actually trying to fucking get somewhere. Most good people are trying to get somewhere, or maybe they're not. Maybe in this Trump era of mega stupidity, people are just at the wheel masturbating to the latest mobile game while listening to headphones and driving like a shitbag. I have no fucking idea. I wouldn't be surprised. Is this texting and driving, or is it just plain old idiocy that's causing this? Because it is happening everywhere. All the fucking time. You can't get anywhere without someone. And I don't mean there's a line of cars in front of them that are causing them to go slow. I mean, if the entire road was clear for the next 10 miles, they would still be going 5 to 10 miles under the fucking posted limit. Now, if you ever get behind a Prius, ladies and gentlemen, Toyota Prius, you're in for a real treat. A treat of fucking slowness that guarantees you will miss every goddamn green light and that you will never, ever make it where you are going in time. Now, I like the Prius. I think the Prius is a good car. I think electric cars are a good idea. They have their problem with the batteries and shipping batteries and all that stuff. But I'm not getting into that right now. Again, the Prius is not the problem, though. It's the driver of the Prius. It's the driver of the Prius. And it's almost every driver of every Prius I've ever fucking seen. No joke. They all drive fucking slow. And everything is like just arduous to them. Now, if you just can't seem to muster up the courage to get that speedometer up to 30 in a 30 zone, 40 in a 40 zone, or God forbid, 55 in a 55 zone, do us and yourselves a favor, pull over when people are behind you or stay the fuck home. You're not mentally equipped to handle driving a vehicle and therefore you shouldn't be driving one ever. Fuck off. All right, there's the first of two fuck off rants. That's how fuck off works. It's just a chance to vent on one thing. And, you know, just fucking do it. So, that is that.
You're not alone over there. And you didn't even allow me to chime in about the fuck you kind of thing.
The fuck off rant, but
yeah, the fuck.
And you had something to say about it.
I've been on the road, behind people that are going slow too. And I don't like.
You added a lot to that, conversation. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here, too. Thank you.
All right. We, I think, are going to jump back into a little more of the EM news.
And now, more EM news.
Holy shit. That's a special sound there. That's a new addition to the show as of about 3 weeks ago. Anyway, more Empty Minds news. Our third story tonight comes to us from Scotland. If there's a specific place in Scotland, I don't know exactly where that is, but it's in Scotland. And this is called,
Aye, you're damn straight, we have a plan. Aye, you're damn straight, we have a plan.
Thanks, Paul. Although the Loch Ness Monster is probably mythical, someone actually figured out a plan for what to do if Nessie turns out to be legit. Back in 2001, as it turns out, the Scottish Natural Heritage, a group funded by the Scottish government, created a series of guidelines in the event that Nessie is actually discovered. The plan has resurfaced in part because an international team of scientists combed the murky Loch Ness last month for environmental DNA to confirm which species called the lake home. Now, keep in mind, these scientists were not looking for the Loch Ness Monster. They were simply combing the lake to get DNA to find what species live in the lake. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, that is also a type of fish, interestingly enough, reported last month that she believed Nessie was real. Yeah, well, her name is Sturgeon. She's probably seen him. Or her, or whatever. Animal lovers will be happy to know that Nessie's welfare is of paramount importance. The plan stipulates that if the creature is captured, a DNA sample should be taken before releasing him back into the lake. Scottish Natural Heritage spokesman Nick Helfhide said that if Nessie was to be discovered today, the contingency plan would have to be updated to consult local communities and businesses. Well, I'm not sure why. Capture? DNA sample to figure out what the hell's going on, and back into the lake to keep the mystery alive for many, many more years. The plan has already worked for other creatures that aren't lake monsters. Some of the lessons we learned then have been relevant when we have reintroduced species like sea eagles and were used when a couple of years ago, four new species were found in the sea off the west coast, Helfhide said. However, Nessie may be a harder catch. Although people have reported sightings of the monster since the 6th century, most attempts to track Nessie down have been fruitless, including a 2003 expedition that used 600 sonar beams and satellite tracking to sweep the full length of the loch. Researchers concluded there was probably nothing there. But then again, if you were an ancient sea monster, you probably know every trick in the book for not being seen. So there you go. And number four, finally tonight, as far as news goes, the most annoying shuttle ever. The most annoying shuttle ever. That's right, the most annoying shuttle ever. This comes to us from Turku, Finland. You've heard of singing for your supper, but now some people are singing for their cab rides. They better, because the taxi stops the moment they stop vocalizing. The annoying sing-along shuttle, as it is called, was unveiled last weekend during the Ruzrock Music Festival in Turku, Finland. As part of a promotion by Fortum, a clean energy company based in Northern Europe, attendees will be able to traipse around the festival grounds in an electrically powered BMW i3 for free. The catch, and it's a catch, is that you have to sing for the driver and keep singing or the ride is over. The point of the promotion is to show that electric cars are so quiet you don't have to worry about the engine being louder than your singing. Luckily, the car has a tablet that offers song choices and lyrics, so you don't have to forget the chorus to Don't Stop Believing during your shuttle. Oh, please do. Forget it and then get kicked out. Although not everyone feels comfortable belting out a song in public, but the sing-along shuttle is, quote, way better than trying to make awkward conversation with the rideshare driver, according to one publication. Wrong. They are fucking wrong. That publication is wrong. No. This is way worse than making conversation with the rideshare driver. Believe me. It sucks. Total and utter asshole. And that, folks, that is your EM news for the night. What do you think of them apples, bud?
I like apples. Apples are pretty good. Yeah, sometimes I like to slice them up. And
okay, bud. Fair enough. With that, we are going to take our next commercial break, but we will see you all in just a few minutes, folks.
Flash! Cola history was made today with new decaffeinated RC.
Renegade Radio is your host for the greatest collection of audio podcasts ever assembled. Imagine awesome streaming shows like this one 24 hours a day, sexy girls, and never-ending awesome podcasts all in one location. The shows are all on a schedule, easy to find, easy to listen to, and even easier to enjoy. You're only going to find that at RenegadeRadio.com, and don't forget, that's Renegade with two A's.
We're back. More EMR, episode 392, the All Out Assault on Stupidity and Bullshit. This is technically a solo show tonight. Just me, ladies and gentlemen, but I do have Bud Dickman sitting in here with me. Bud normally is from a completely different show, one that I have been a fan of, and we have referenced on this show. Why Bud's here in town tonight, I don't know, because Bud is normally in Los Angeles.
I came up here to visit some friends that I knew from when I worked with Jenner in this very building. Tonight they had other plans, so I crept over here, and you saw you were doing your podcast, and I thought, hey, I'm going to jump in there. Yeah.
Wow, Bud, you're a madman.
I try.
All right, Bud. Well, before we get into mentaltainment, we're going to do a segment that Polly, our very own Polly Molina, calls the most important segment, not just in podcasts, not just in audio, not just in media, but in the entire world. This is perhaps the most important thing on the planet. And the reason so, this is called fucking corrections. Normally, we would go around the room at this point. Everybody would guess how many things how many corrections they thought there were. Of course, I'm the only one here. Bud, you want to guess?
I think there's 32.
32, Bud.
Yeah, 32.
Bud, on our worst day in the 8 years the show has been on the air, there have been, I think, 14, maybe 15 on the worst day.
I'm holding out lots of hope for tonight.
All right, Bud says there are 32 corrections tonight. The reason this is important, fucking corrections, folks, is we are the all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit. You heard me say it at the start of the show. You've heard me say it coming back from every commercial break. And that is what we're about. We're about telling you the truth. We have a good time doing it. We can be irreverent. We can say stupid shit. But we're always on task, and we are trying to relay truthful information. Now, if it's opinion, that's one thing. If it's opinion, it's stated as such, and we leave it alone, and that's somebody's opinion. But if we're stating a fact or telling you a news story, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes I'll say something and Gary or Paul or Jerry will disagree with me. Sometimes one of them will say something and I'll say, that's not what happened. Sometimes, you know, a question is posed by one of us and nobody in the room knows the answer to it. So if it's a disagreement or nobody knows, it needs to be fucking corrected, because we want you to have the correct information when you go out into the world. So here's what we ask of you. We ask that if you listen to last week's show, you don't go out and share information from EMR with the world until you've listened to this week's show, because this week we will correct, we will fix all of the mistakes we made in the previous week's show. So tonight is episode 392. I am fixing any errors, any omissions, anything that went wrong in episode 391. So it's important that you listen to the next show to know what went wrong in the last one. Now, after you hear these corrections tonight, go out and share everything you heard on episode 391 that you feel was fit to share, because you will know that you have the correct information. And that's why this is the most purposeful, most important segment in all of everything, according to our very own Paul. Bud said there were 32 corrections.
32 corrections. That's right. I know I nailed it. I know I nailed it.
You know, we play Price is Right rules here, Bud. That means the closest without going over. So, for instance, if you guessed 9 and there were 8 corrections, it wouldn't matter if you were one away. You lost because you went over.
I understand. 32, and I'm sticking with it.
All right, Bud. Well, there were 5 total corrections this week. You only went over by 27, so you did pretty good.
Oh, better luck next time for Bud Dickman.
All right, here we go. 5 total corrections this week. Number 1, during an early chat last week about the film Jaws, I asked if Amity, the island from the movie Jaws, had any real or fictional relation to Amityville from the Amityville Horror. And the answer is maybe a little bit. To be clear, Amityville is real, and it is located on Long Island, New York. Amity Island, at least in name, is fictitious. The village of Amityville is situated along the Great South Bay. Right across the bay are a series of uninhabited barrier islands. They're more like glorified sandbars consisting of either dunes, trees, brushland, etc., or just marshes in the middle of a rather shallow bay. Beyond that is Fire Island, the main barrier island, not more than a mile wide by any good estimate. And that is most likely the place referred to as Amity Island. Fire Island, more specifically Cherry Grove and Fire Island Pines, is sparsely inhabited year-round, but tends to be quite the resort area during the summer months. So there's no place called Amity Island, and as far as its relation to Amityville, if it were real, it would be Cherry Grove or Fire Island Pines, just off the coast of Amityville. So there is somewhat of a connection, but they don't specifically reference it, and who knows if they were even thinking about it when it was written as a novel. So there you go. That's number 1. Number 2, I made a comment in the mid-show chat about something reminding me of the movie line, "Everything he said is bullshit," and for the very life of me, I couldn't figure out the reference. That line is, "Everything that guy just said is bullshit," and it was delivered with perfection by Joe Pesci in the oft-referenced on this show, My Cousin Vinny. "Everything that guy just said is bullshit." There's the line. Number 3, Gary did eventually correct this during the episode, but since he cheated by looking it up on his phone, it is still an official correction. During a ticker for Satch, the great Louis Armstrong, I mentioned that he had done an odd series of laxative commercials in which you see him taking a dump through the keyhole in the bathroom door, and he proclaims, "Satch says, leave it all behind you." Polly asked if he died shitting his guts out. No, Mr. Louis Armstrong, the great Satchmo, died of a heart attack, and as far as we know, He wasn't on the toilet when it occurred. Yes, that was corrected later in the show last week, but officially it's still a correction. That's how we're playing that shit from now on. Number four, during Cinema Pauly D, so I asked Pauly who the director of photography was on the film The Third Man, which was not the Pauly D so last week. The last week, Pauly D so was Touch of Evil. Third Man is not an Orson Welles film, but it is a film in which Orson Welles is an actor. But anyway, I asked who the director of photography was in Third Man. Pauly said it was on the tip of his tongue, but he just couldn't get it out. That man was Robert Krasker. Krasker did a handful of great films, but had relatively a small body of work for such a talent. He won the cinematography Oscar for The Third Man. The Third Man stars Joseph Cotten. Jerry is a big fan of the biopic on Cotten's life. It is titled Touching Cotten. So there we go. A little factoid about Jerry. Loves the documentary film biopic on Cotten's life, Joseph Cotten's life, called Touching Cotten. And finally, number five, our final correction of the eve, if you will. During our logo origin segment at the end of the show last week, we had a beautiful logo for Xerox. Gorgeous Xerox logo with the words below it reading a Haloid company. I asked if anyone knew what the hell Haloid was, and nobody did. This ended up being a more interesting correction than I thought it would be. Sometimes they're just sort of dull, but we get them out because we have to. Sometimes they're actually fun and they produce more information, and that's one of these. Xerox was founded in 1906 in Rochester, New York, as the Haloid Photographic Company, which originally manufactured photographic paper and photographic equipment. In 1938, Chester Carlson, a physicist working independently, invented a process for printing images using an electrically charged photoconductor-coated metal plate and a dry powder that we now know as toner. However, it would take more than 20 years of refinement before the first automated machine to make copies was commercialized using a document feeder, scanning light, and a rotating drum. Joseph C. Wilson, credited as the founder of Xerox, took over Haloid from his father. So the son took over from the father and named the company Xerox. He saw the promise of Carlson's invention and in 1946 signed an agreement to develop it as a commercial product. Wilson remained as president CEO of Xerox until 1967, and he served as their chairman until his death in 71. So he was involved, the family was involved in the company for a long, long time. Looking for a term to differentiate its new system, Haloid coined the term xerography from two Greek root words meaning dry writing. Haloid subsequently changed its name to Haloid Xerox in 1958, and then in 3 years later, they changed it to Xerox Corporation in 1961. And those, folks, are your fucking corrections for the evening. So now you can go forth, share everything you learned from last week's show, and you don't have to worry about being a fuck-up. Ain't that right, bud?
I've been called a fuck-up many, many, many times, but never from anything I've shared from Indie Minds Radio, because I always listen to the fucking correction segment the next week, and then I go out with the proper information so nobody can call me a fuck-up.
Wow. Well, thanks for that, bud. That's important to know. And we are moving right along to... what the hell are we moving right along to? Oh, it's mental-tainment time, if I can find the thing for it. Hello, folks. This is Mentaltainment, and this is the Mentaltainment News. This is the news on the entertainment industry. Mentaltainment. Number one, the Buffett Buffet of Business. The Buffett Buffet of Business. Thanks, Paul. Before Jimmy Buffett, rock and roll and leisure hardly counted as overlapping industries. Buffett, as a businessman, if not necessarily an artist, was able to play down the shiftlessness of some of his early beach bum character studies and play up relaxation as an aspirational lifestyle. Flash forward to now, when Margaritaville, the company named after Buffett's soul, number one pop hit, it's his only hit song, brings in between $1.5 billion and $2 billion, with a B, annually. In 2016, Forbes declared Buffett America's 13th wealthiest celebrity with a net worth of $550 million. Not bad for a guy who has one hit song, but a raft of followers and a shitload of restaurants. So Spotify royalties are actually the least of his concerns, although they do pretty well too. Margaritaville's physical locations clearly attract more than just hardcore parrot heads. The company's 70-plus restaurants, bars, hotels, resorts, casinos, cruises, and vacation rentals draw more than 20 million visitors annually. And then there's all of the branded booze and decor for your home. Then ciliary branding began modestly, but early with the 1987 opening of the first Margaritaville restaurant in Key West, Florida. It took until 1993, that's right, 6 years later before they got around to the second location. Now there are 32, of them, 32 Margaritavilles, and that's not counting the 3 Air Margaritavilles that are in airport terminals, 9 Landshark Bar and Grills, 7 Cheeseburger in Paradise restaurants, and the 7 5 o'clock somewhere bars. There are 2 casinos, and hotel resorts are up to 8, with 8 more on the way in the coming years, including a 234-room, 29-story property set to open in 2020 in beachy Times Square. That's right, Times Square, the home of beach dwelling. If the danger remains that Buffett's fan base might age out of their leisure sector, there's some accounting for that as well, with 2 planned retirement communities for the 55 and better set. Not everything Jimmy touches is golden, though. He had a Broadway play that tanked recently, and apparently it's 5 o'clock. And apparently it's 5 o'clock somewhere will go on as a roadshow in October and plans to tour through 2019, but the message is clear. Buffett fans aren't sure why they need to experience a hero finding the bliss of sea air in a theater where they can book a resort stay for their own latitude and attitude-changing interactive theater. Point being, Buffett fans love Buffett, and they love the drinking idea of Buffett, and they love the Buffett music, and they love sitting on a beach somewhere and sipping Mai Tais and thinking of Buffett, and all that sounds great. And they, you know, but yeah, they don't really want to be in a theater watching a play about Buffett. So we'll see if this next one works out, but if it doesn't, I'm sure he won't be hurting. You Jimmy Buffett fan?
Oh, I love the Jimmy Buffett. I got Hawaiian shirts out the yin yang, whole closet full.
Okay, as always, you can go a little bit overboard there, buddy.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, bud. It's all right. Number 2, downloads for you, smarty pants. Downloads for you, smarty pants. After making it possible for subscribers to download content in 2016, Netflix is making its download feature smarter and more binge-friendly. The new smart download setup announced today being Tuesday, in a blog post will automatically delete episodes that are viewed and then download the next episode once you are connected to Wi-Fi. The feature will only be available initially on Android phones and tablets. I love how Netflix leaves Apple out of it. What a great company. And is focused on episodic series, not so much movies or specials. You watch, we do the work, summed up the post, which is attributed to Cameron Johnson, director of product innovation. We know how annoying it can be to go through all of your apps and delete files that you no longer need. We also understand that when it comes to Netflix, the faster you can get the next episode you want to watch, the better. The movie is the latest evolution of Netflix. The move is the latest evolution of Netflix's mobile experience, which has grown in importance since its first app launch in 2010. The company has been fine-tuning its user interface to improve the process of discovering new shows, adding a coming soon feature to Android devices. Early in 2018, it added short trailers of vertical orientation designed for the Snapchat generation, enabling subscribers to sample titles. We also want to emphasize that giving consumers more control over their entertainment experience is at the heart of everything we do, Johnson wrote in the post. So there we go. Netflix innovating. So sometimes cheesily so, sometimes, you know, good going, but always, always innovating. And we do have some birthdays. Normally we turn to Paulie or Jerry for these, but there's no Paulie or Jerry here tonight. And if I could find the birthdays, I'll tell you what, folks, if I could find these birthdays, I'd be absolutely thrilled. I know they're here somewhere. I got so many sheets of paper, I don't even know what I'm doing with myself. There they are. There's the birthdays. And now the fantastic birthdays.
Could I read the birthdays, Mr. Z?
I don't know. Can you read, bud? Is that something you can do? I think I'm going to do the birthdays. I never get a chance to do the birthdays.
I really wanted to do the birthdays there. I love the birthdays segment.
You know what, bud? Next time that you're in town and you randomly climb down a chimney or slip through a toilet to sneak into the building and be a part of the show, you can do the birthdays. This time, I think I'm gonna take these on myself. I don't get to do them very much. These are EM birthdays for the week of July 13th through July 19th. Tomorrow, not today. Normally we say today at this point, but we've already done today's birthdays. We already covered Thursday's birthdays on last week's show. So these are birthdays for tomorrow, Friday the 13th through Thursday the 19th. Here we go. Tomorrow, the great, the legend, Harrison Ford will be 76. That's right, Han Solo himself, 76 years old. The fucking awesome Patrick Stewart, 78. Yeah, we're off to a good start here. That's a good list so far. blah, 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 move aside, ciao, birthday, actor Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong, the great Ken Jeong, the brilliant Ken Jeong, the doctor turned actor Ken Jeong, 49 years old, but 49, just a kid, Ken Jeong. And for his birthday, apple pie pussy, the great Cheech Marin will be 72 tomorrow. Birthdays for the rest of the week, Saturday on, famous for creating a post, Arianna Huffington is 68 years old. Busted many a myth in his day. Adam Savage will be 51 this week. Fucking gorgeous actress. Just stunning. Diane Kruger. You know her probably most famously from the National Treasure movies. She is beautiful. She is 42. But 42, she's a child. Forrest motherfucking Whitaker. Enough said. Is 57. You big Forrest Whitaker fan, bud?
I don't even know who that Forrest Whitaker is. Never heard of him.
Ah, well, you should maybe watch more good films, bud. Start with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's where he started, and take it from there. Red Sonja herself, ex-Mrs. Stallone, Brigitte Nielsen, is 55 this week. Funny man, comedian Eddie Griffin will also be 50. Not also, he will be 50 this week. Anal, anal bum covers for 400, Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell will be 51 this week. One of the Coreys, this one is Feldman, he's 47 this week. Really, it's no hassle. David Hasselhoff will be 66. Donald, the actor who has done it all, Sutherland, turns 83 this week. He is a mega talent. Super talented, but only gets shitty car chase roles. Vin Diesel is 51. Vin Diesel is a mega talent. He really is a good actor. He's one of those actors. It gets just, you know, he gets inundated with the action film roles. But I'm telling you, every once in a while, he's in something else, and he is mind-blowingly a great actor. Try as you might, you will never, ever forget Sarah Marshall because she's gorgeous. The gorgeous Kristen Bell is 38 this week. Virgin founder, philanthropist Richard Branson turns 68. Dr. Stephen Strange, actor Bendy Dick Cummy Snatch, 42 years old. He is also a kid. Bendy Dick Cummy Snatch turns 42 this week. Brilliant guitarist from the band Queen, the great, the legend, the legendary Brian May will be 71 this week. And if they were alive, these are people that are no longer with us, and I guess we have some kind of a song for that.
Died. They're all dead. He died. No longer around. If they were with us still, they'd still be here. But
okay, thanks, bud. Thank you. These are people that are no longer with us. But if they were alive, they would be these ages on this week. He put his footsies on the moon. Astronaut John Glenn would be 97 this week. Political prisoner turned South African leader, the great Nelson Mandela, would be 100 years old. Once a Cosmo cover model and 38th U.S. President Gerald Ford, 105. Yes, Gerald Ford was on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine at some point. He would be 105 years old. Global circumnavigator Sir Francis Drake, 478. We credit Francis Drake for circumnavigating the globe. Francis Drake also did a lot of bad shit, including slavery and slave trading in his life. So we're not really celebrating the man so much as his accomplishment as a circumnavigator. He would be 478. Roman Emperor, conqueror of worlds, Julius Caesar, the salad dressing dude, would be 1,918 years old. How do you like them apples, bud?
Once again, I still like apples. I'm a big fan of apples, and that's an old fucker. He's super old, like an old man.
Indeed he is. Indeed he is an old man, bud. And as always, sir, your input is super appreciated. We'll be back with more Mentaltainment here in a minute. But right now, we've got some other shit to do. We are, as you may have noticed, not just tonight with me hosting by myself, but during weeks when everybody's here, for the last couple, 3 weeks, we've been rearranging the show, changing the format a little bit, not so that it's unrecognizable, dropping some things that we thought were duds, adding some things, switching some things around. We are also looking for a new female co-host, and yes, we are sort of adamant about it being a female because there are enough men in this room on any given evening, and we would like a female point of view. If she happens to be a black female or a Chinese female or something else, bonus, because we're all white dudes. So a woman and from a different culture, sweet. The different culture thing, we're not adamant about. That would be a bonus. But the female thing, yes, has to be. So if you listen to the show and you're local and you're female, great. Give us a holler if you think you want to take a try behind the microphone. If you listen to the show and know somebody who lives here or somebody who might be moving here, because a lot of people are moving here, and they might be interested, let us know. Let them know and let us know. But we are looking for a female host in the very, very near future. We'd like to resolve that in the next couple months. And what we'll do is if we get a, you know, more than one, we normally have some people apply for this, but Craigslist, the place that used to be great to post these ads, now charges per posting. So I've kind of been like, fuck you, Craigslist. I'm not giving you a cent. And therefore, we're not getting as much of a response either. So we would like your help if you know someone. And what we'll do is we'll get a few names, and we'll give them each like a week in front of the mic and see how they do. They'll see if they like us. We'll see if we like them. The listeners can chime in and see what they think. And then from there, we'll pick a female co-host. And we are looking for someone, just so you know. They don't have to be here every week. I mean, you know that sometimes Gary's not here, sometimes Jerry's not here. But we really are looking for someone who can be here most of the time. A permanent co-host replacement. So we are looking for a responsible person who can make it most Friday evenings. And, hey, this does not affect your fun at all, your fun Friday night. We're usually out of here just after 10 o'clock, and we go out drinking after the show. So if you're like, I'd love to do that show, but man, I really like to drink on Fridays. Hey, so do we. And we leave right from here and go do so. So please, 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 if you know somebody or you are somebody who wants that position, let us know. Contact us via the contact form on our website or via either message us on the Facebook page. Or, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm not going to say another word about that.
I'd like to be the co-host.
You're not a girl, bud.
Oh, shit. That's right. I knew there was something that wasn't going to work out.
And you don't live here.
I'm going to shut up now.
Sounds like a great idea. This here is your second fuck-off rant of the evening. Fuck off. So I was sitting at my usual coffee shop the other morning. I'm there just about every day of the week. And I was just trying to relax. I was having a real tired day. So maybe crabbiness had something to do with this. Although if I hadn't been real tired, I still wouldn't have liked this anymore, I'm pretty sure. And I was just trying to relax. I was trying to maybe draw a little bit. I'm working on some comic strip stuff that might be a part of the show down the road. And I was just trying to work my way into the day, you know, just trying to start my day slowly, build into it, you know, enjoy it. And there they were, these corporate fucking shitbags who think that the coffee shop is their goddamn conference room, taking up a large amount of seating and yammering bullshit at the top of their lungs. You know, this is not your fucking conference room, assholes. Go find a fucking corner of hell to have these meetings in, please. And here's a side note on taking up seating. One of these assholes had her purse on the chair of another table, not even the table she was at, because she didn't want it interfering with the giant table that she was already completely hogging up. Another one of these assholes had some huge fucking corporate dickhead backpack hogging up the whole seat on the opposite side of the table that wasn't there. So effectively, between her purse on one side and his fucking goddamn bag from hell on the other, it looked like this table was completely occupied to anyone who would walk past it who wasn't afraid to ask them to move their shit. I asked them to move their goddamn shit, and they did. But yeah, they were hogging up not only their whole giant table, but a fucking additional table with their shit because they just didn't want it invading their space. And by the way, with this fucking backpack I'm talking about, you know the type. It holds about 18 laptops, and it has all kinds of shit. And it's probably for the biking dickhead who fucking bikes to the office or who the fuck knows what. But anyway, I digress. This table looked full, and it wasn't, and I asked them to move their shit. And I almost wish, like, it was the only seat available, so I'm glad I asked them to move their shit, but I almost wish I hadn't, because it meant I had to sit next to them and listen to this fucking crap. These corporate assholes having board meetings in my coffee shop isn't the fuck off, though. It isn't even the fuck off that these assholes were having their meeting in a coffee shop. It should be. It could be the fuck off, but it isn't. The rant is actually about these boring, suburbo, corporate asswipes who aren't hip, but they think they are because they use young terminology, you know, words that they gleaned off of their kids or the friends of their kids. And so anyway, the same asshole with the purse was talking with the other two dickbags about some work associate that they have in common. And one of the two clowns asked her if, let's call the guy they're referencing, let's call him Steven. Asked if Steven likes to do the paperwork or whatever for these programs. And she said, are you kidding? Oh, yeah, that's his jam. That's his jam, folks. What a fucking bitch. Now, that's my jam, or my jam isn't all that new, but it's still too off the radar for these types of people to be using. Do I sound cruel? I might sound cruel. Maybe. But if you had to sit next to this shit, or God forbid, partake in it, you'd be on my Nukemall train immediately. You'd be buying tickets and signing up. The term my jam, of course, originally referred to one's favorite song. It has gone on to mean my favorite choice above others, and not just in music. If you have examples of other terminology you hear corporate asswipes using that just seems off to you, we would love to fucking hear about it. Contact us on the contact form or on the Facebook page. But to all corporate users of inappropriate slang, and specifically to the bitch with the purse, fuck off. There, it's my fuck off rant. My second fuck off rant. I've been fucking off a lot of people tonight, but, you know, I got a lot of show to cover on my own. You know, normally I have many people here helping me, but not tonight. Tonight I am on my own, and so therefore, I got to say fuck off a couple times. Ha 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 ha! Take that shit, motherfuckers. All right. We are going to do a little mentaltainment ticker. The mentaltainment ticker, as Gary would normally go, tick, 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 tick. Here we go. Mentaltainment ticker. Tab Hunter, the chiseled 1950s heartthrob who portrayed Joe Hardy in the Damn Yankees movie, had a number one record and starred in two outlandish films with the drag queen Divine, has died. He was 86 years old. Hunter died Sunday night in Santa Barbara from a blood clot that caused a heart attack. After decades of silence, the leading man confirmed long-standing rumors about his homosexuality in his autobiography, Tab Hunter Confidential, The Making of a Movie Star, which was published in 2005. He was apparently in a romantic relationship with Anthony Perkins, which will be chronicled in the new movie starring Zachary Quinto, titled Tab and Tony. So I kind of want to see that, actually, because, well, I don't know much about Tab Hunter. I know who he is. I knew who he was. But I've always been a big fan of Anthony Perkins. Anthony was, of course, sort of pigeonholed as Norman Bates for doing such a great job as Norman Bates. And then he ended up doing, you know, 4 or 5, 10 sequels to that movie. But, if you catch him in some of the other things he's done, wow. Anthony Perkins is a talent. So I'd be interested in seeing this movie. And Zachary Quinto is a great actor too. So if you don't know who Zachary Quinto is, he's the, Spock in the newer Star Trek films. But are you a Zachary Quinto fan?
I love Zachary Quinto. Quinto. I love to say it. Quinto.
Yeah, I love to say it too. It's fun to say, isn't it? Quinto.
Quinto.
Moving on. Robbie Knott, who worked on special effects for such films as the Muppet movie Field of Dreams and the Nutty Professor remake before a scuba diving accident ended his career, has died. He was 73 years old. Knott died June 29th in Portland, Oregon, his son Brian said. His death was due to complications from the accident that occurred in 2006 during a visit to Micronesia when Knott got the bends and became paralyzed from the waist down, he said. Billy Dee Williams will once again don his iconic cape to reprise the role of Lando Calrissian. The man who originated the charismatic character nearly 4 decades ago is reportedly headed back to that faraway galaxy for Star Wars Episode IX. IX. Can you believe they're on IX? Fucking 9. Episode 9. The upcoming installment in the blockbuster franchise, rumors began to swirl regarding his involvement when the 81-year-old actor backed out of an appearance at an upcoming sci-fi convention, explaining that the event conflicted with his scheduled involvement in the production of an upcoming film. He opted out of a sci-fi convention because he was actually filming sci-fi. How about that? Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver are about to break a record of a different sort, that of crossing the 7-year mark since their divorce proceedings began, and apparently there is no end anytime soon. Shriver filed for divorce back on July 1st, 2011, after it was revealed that the Terminator had fathered a child with their housekeeper. The shared kids are all adults now, so there is no custody battle, and it seems that Arnold has shown no real interest in making the divorce final. And as for Maria, she's up and down about it, but mostly just letting it rest. Also, they are not getting back together, apparently, and when things get right down to it, both are unwilling to make the final move to end things legally. When and if it does end, it's a 50-50 split, so they probably just don't give a shit. They should probably just pay their attorneys and call it done, but they just don't even fucking bother doing that.
A 50-50 split is a pretty good thing. Everybody wins, and when everybody wins, nobody loses.
Well, that's right. Very astute observation there, bud. Thanks for chiming.
Yeah, no problem. Aye, aye, Captain.
Take a flashback. On this day in 1954, a 19-year-old Elvis Presley signed a recording contract with Sun Records. He also gave in his notice at his job at the Crown Electric Company. He signed his recording contract with Sun Records and gave notice at his job at the Electric Company that same day. In 1962, the Rolling Stones performed their first concert at London's famous Marquee Club. In 1976, the first Family Feud game show debuted on ABC, and of course, it was hosted by the great, no longer with us, Richard Dawson. In 1979, singer-songrator Minnie Riperton died of cancer at the young age of 31. The Stevie Wonder-produced Loving You gave Minnie a number one single in 1975. She worked at Chess Records, singing backup for various artists such as Etta James, Fontella Bass, Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, and Muddy Waters. In 1983, former Traffic member Chris Wood died of liver failure after a lengthy illness. He also played with Jimi Hendrix in 1968, appearing on the iconic Electric Ladyland album, and he also worked with Free, John Martin, and Small Faces. In 1996, Smashing Pumpkins drummer Jimmy Chamberlin was charged with drug possession after the death of the band's keyboard player Jonathan Melvoin in his New York hotel room. In 2000, a statue erected in the memory of John Lennon was unveiled in London's Trafalgar Square. The sculpture featured a revolver with a knotted barrel, which was created by Swedish artist Carl Fredrik Rutsvard. In 2003, saxophonist, composer, and arranger Benny Carter died at the age of 95. He worked with Miles Davis, Ella Fitzgerald, Ray Charles, and composed many TV theme songs, including Ironside and M-Squad. In 2008, Rolling Stones, Ronnie Wood, this bastard. What a bastard. I mean, I get it, kinda, but what a dick move. Rolling Stone, Ronnie Wood left his wife of 23 years and moved in with an 18-year-old Russian cocktail waitress. The 61-year-old dad of four had met the teenager while out drinking and had taken her away to his luxury pad in Ireland. What 18-year-old Russian cocktail waitress could fucking say no to that? In 2008, singer Earl Nelson died in Lake Charles, Louisiana. One half of the duo Bob and Earl, who recorded Harlem Shuffle in 1963. Nelson also sang background vocals on the famous song Rockin' Robin. That is your ticker flashback, and that is your entire mentaltainment there, as far as I know. Yeah, that is the mentaltainment. But we got other stuff. We got stuff. We're moving on to other stuff. Thing is when I shuffle papers and I'm here by myself, I mean, I'm not here completely by myself. Bud's over there, but Bud's being ridiculously silent tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to take a final commercial break, and then we'll be back here in just a minute to wrap things up. We'll see you then.
Activision presents Mega Mania, a new video game for your Atari video computer system.
1, 2, 3, 4, Mega! Mega Mania! Mega Mania! It's going to drive you insane.
You've got to set this in line. You've got to run to stay alive.
Is a video nightmare because it's impossible to stop.
Designed by Steve Cartwright.
Mega Mania!
For Activision.
With more Empty Minds Radio, the assaulting something with the thing, and we're at 392, and we're back. Thank you so much for letting me do that. I really wanted to do that forever.
Bud, you get overexcited, man. You get really excited about stuff, and you kind of go, you sound like a mad scientist.
I've been told I have a strange laugh.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Bud. Yes, as Bud said, we are back. Empty Minds Radio, 392. All out of salt on stupidity and bullshit. We're rolling into the final stretch of the show here, but we're not going to get there until we we do our special segment of the night, and it's favorite Facebook posts of the week. These are just a handful of either good, smart, stupid, or neutral posts that I came across this week. Mostly they are stupid, but these are just things I stumbled upon and thought, let me talk about them on the show. Mention why I think they're dumb or smart or clever or whatever they are. So here we go. Number one, this is a quote. Each of these starts with what the posting was or what the thing was. And this one said, second only to Walmart as the shittiest place in the universe. That's right. I'll repeat that. Second only to Walmart as the shittiest place in the universe. This is in reference to a location-pinned Walgreens in North Minneapolis, a news store which, in the estimation of the poster, was, quote, nothing but a bunch of meth heads. Hello? Have you ever been to a Walgreens anywhere on the fucking planet? You don't need to set foot in one of the 3,000 Walgreens stores that are on the Vegas Strip to encounter crazy. And most of the crazies at the Walgreens store are employees. This is in every Walgreens ever I've ever been to anywhere. Also, in regards to the pharmaceuticals regarding women, it was CVS. It was she was complaining about their stance on pharmaceuticals regarding women, specifically like birth control and things like that. It was CVS that made it okay corporate-wide to deny women, and for that matter men, prescriptions based on the religious beliefs of the pharmacist. Now, that's as fucking crazy as this post. She said there was an incident where Walgreens was allowed to not give a woman something, or maybe one pharmacist did that, but it is CVS that has a corporate-wide policy where their pharmacists can choose whether or not they want to serve you something based on their fucking religion, and that is fucking bullshit. Next up, second post, here's what it said. Why do men think there's some sort of qualifying criteria for becoming a man? There is no man test for being a real man. This post comes to us from our old friend Marsha Warfield, and it could almost be a really old EMR segment called Roz's Rants. We used to do a thing of everything that Marsha Warfield said. If you don't know who Marsha is, if you're a fan of the old show Night Court from the 80s, which had a very long run, she was the bailiff, the mouthy African-American bailiff on the show. She played the character Roz. I'm now Facebook friends with her, and she is a very prolific poster. There's probably more shit from her every day than everybody else I know combined. But anyway, again, I'll read that. Why do men think there's some sort of qualifying criteria for becoming a man? There is no man test for being a real man. Do men think this? All men? Is that what all men think? I mean, I see this in movies or shows because, frankly, it creates drama and it creates, you know, bullshit and causes problems. But in real life, I mean, maybe in the South or some ass backward place, I hear in jest things like grow a pair or if you had a set of balls, but it is usually joking around and it differs greatly from the question posed in this post. I personally don't like to be lumped into this men category if that's how men are thought of. I can't stand macho any more than I can stand super effeminate. I really don't like either. I'm not anti-gay, and I am not anti-straight. I'm just anti-anybody who puts up a front of any kind to say, this is how I am, or,
yeah, this is how I am.
Fuck you. Can't we just be people? Do we have to create weird personas? I don't mean personality. I mean persona. I found this post to be ridiculous because, I mean, I know she creates things to stir the pot a little bit, but, yeah, that's a dumb fucking post. Certainly there are men like this. There are men like this, but this isn't men in general, and I don't want to be a part of it. I really, really, really don't. Number three, a video post. Can I do that? Yeah, I can fucking do that. I can fucking do it. You're damn right I can. This is a genius little video bit I found. This is great. The link will be on our Facebook page to this, so you can find it easily enough. But here's the audio, which is really all you need. You can watch the video, but the audio will do you just fine. This comes to us from the comedian known as Cat Adele. This is called Mind Your Own Fucking Business, and I'm calling this a little bit of the good word. Here it is.
Hi, fellow white people. Are you having a sad because that family's enjoying a picnic in the park while being black? Did that customer in front of you just speak a language that makes you irrationally angry? Well, this is a great time to try Mind Your Own Fucking Business. With Mind Your Own Fucking Business, you'll be able to grow the fuck up and act like a decent fucking human being. Our patented technology allows you to pull your head out of your ass and see the world beyond the brim of your MAGA hat.
Hi, honey. I saw some black people at the Starbucks today.
Did you mind your own f***ing business?
I sure f***ing did.
Stop bothering those nice people today with mind your own f***ing business.
Side effects may include not harassing people, no one getting arrested or murdered by police, a general sense of well-being for people of color, a lack of internet fame, and or trolling and coexistence. Please consult your doctor if you are still a piece of shit after minding your own f***ing business, as the symptoms may be a result of a deeper problem and require further treatment.
Now available at Anthropology and Whole Foods.
Right on. Way to go, Cat Adele. That kind of sums it up. Yeah. Mind your own business. Leave people the fuck alone. Stop calling the cops because you saw a black family. This is bullshit. If you do that, you're a racist piece of shit, and I hope you fucking die in front of your family. And then I hope they fucking die, too, because you've probably raised them to be pieces of shit, too. Fuck you. Number four, final one of the night of the favorite Facebook posts of the week. Are you enjoying these, bud? Do you like these?
I'm having a good time. I like the video with the Starbucks and the black people. It's a fun time.
Thanks, bud. I'm glad you like it.
Anytime here, Captain.
Enough of the Captain shit, bud. Number four, final one. Besides wearing them on your feet, name another use for shoes. This was a post. This one also comes to us from Marsha Warfield. She dominates so much of my feet all day and night that she was bound to pick up more than one of these. So here it is. Besides wearing shoes on your feet, what do you do with them? Well, if you're a former leader of the USSR, you can bang one on the table in anger. If you are an Austin Powers villain who turned out to be much worse of a person in real life than he ever portrayed on screen, you could throw one at your enemy's head. If you're a 1960s secret agent, you could have a telephone in one of them, a phone that never, ever dropped calls, by the way, and that was like 60 years ago. If you are me, nothing really. I've worn them on my feet, or they have sat on the ground until they were again called to duty by my feet, but no. No, I can't think of really anything else I use shoes for besides fucking putting them on my feet. Do you have any other uses for shoes that we should all be aware of? If you do have entertaining uses for shoes, hey, kids, you know where to hit us up, the contact form, or message us on Facebook and let us know your uses for shoes. Or fucking hit us up on Twitter and tweet us that shit, for that matter. I don't care where you do it, but tell us or show us your interesting uses for shoes. There are a million ways to contact us, none of which you ever do, but we keep trying. We keep trying to feel the love, and it keeps not happening. Good Lord, bud, that about wraps it up. I didn't know you were going to be here, but here you are.
It was a joy, to be around. A short episode, and spend time with you tonight. And I'll be going back to Los Angeles here tomorrow, or the next day, or maybe the day after that, or sometime in the next month. I'll be going home to Los Angeles and back to the radio show that I normally do.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, bud. Thanks for your input tonight on the show. It was nice to have somebody else here. And now, when you leave tonight, are you going to be walking with me out the front door? Or are you going to be crawling back through the plumbing to escape the special way that you came in? Or what are you going to be doing?
I think this time I'm a little stinky still from the way I got in here last time. I think I'll just use the front door. Yeah.
Okay. You got excited again. No problem. Be sure to check us out on EmptyMindsRadio.com, the great internet archive. That's at archive.org. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. On two different Facebook pages, which is where all of our photos will be. And you can catch us through the RSS feed via your favorite podcatcher. Links to all of those things are on every page of the EmptyMindsRadio.com website. We are on RenegadeRadio.com. Don't forget Renegade. For some odd reason, we aren't even going to get into tonight. It's spelled with two A's. That's Renegade. Or no, it's Renagade. It's not Renegade. It's Ren, R-E-N-A-G-A-D-E. Yes, Renagade.com, RenegadeRadio.com. Contact us via the contact form. We've given you so many reasons to do so just tonight alone. Contact us, goddammit. Let us know you're out there. We want to know. We want to hear from you. We want to see likes. We want to see love. We want to branch out, but we can't do it if we don't know how many are listening. And that's one of the ways we know how many are listening. Listen to me whine. And, donations are accepted on the donate page. We've never gotten one yet, but hey, feel free to be the first. Be a trendsetter. Don't follow when you can lead. That's right. Tonight's closing thought. We have a closing thought every night. We used to do a video for audio goodbye.
I like that video for audio thing where you play like a clip from a show or some comedy thing. It was funny. I liked it.
But I kind of liked it too. I can't exactly put a finger on why I decided to get rid of it. but I can't exactly put a finger on why I decided I needed to add it to the show so many years ago either. So for now, it may return someday, but I'm not going to guarantee that because I kind of like not having it. Right now, we're doing a closing thought, and this is an outgoing thing. And someday, this closing thought may be read by somebody else in the room, or it may be a quote from somebody else in the room. But as it stands so far, I've been doing great closing thought quotes from other people. Tonight's closing thought comes to us from Harlan Coben, who, if you don't know who he is, he's an American mystery and thriller novelist. And here's his quote. I think it's fantastic. Life may not always fall into neat chapters, and you may not always get the satisfying ending you're looking for, but sometimes a good explanation is all the rewrite that you need. Thanks, Harlan Coben, for a great quote. Thanks, Bud, for joining me tonight for Empty Minds Radio. I'm Tom.
And I'm Bud Dickman.
Till next week.
What does he normally say? Something like, peace, bitches. Peace, bitches.
Ow, my head.